Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Come on in. Over Skycam. Skycam. Come on in. Welcome. Welcome.
Put a blanket in your lap like I've got.
It is. I don't know how. I literally turned a fan on in the studio today because it's so balls ass hot. Is that or ass balls? I don't know. It's hot as hell. And you have a blanket?
I do this show with a blanket on my lap every day, you guys. It's just very comforting. It's my wubby.
I need. Well, at least you don't have a turtleneck on today.
It's like she's sitting there knitting during the show, like
okay. Well,
Grandma Natalie.
You know what? I hold on to the blanket when I'm feeling a little less confident. Sometimes I need this. And today, I read some of your comments about the Hunter Biden story that we did yesterday, and I was upset about it. For this reason, because I think the way that I was trying to cover that story was being sensitive to people who have addiction inside of their households, because I want to leave space for people to maybe recognize these symptoms in someone they love and think to themselves, well, I would go to the ends of the earth to protect that person, right? And addiction is something that you just never know if you're doing the right thing. And I think it came off as making excuses for the Biden family. And that was not my intention at all. And so I don't know if that came off. And so I was, I wore that today. Like it hit me right there. And I
was with you. I knew where you were going, but I think that sometimes, you know, things get lost in translation because you don't know when somebody came in, what they heard,
if
they had the context around it. But I totally understood what you were saying.
Yeah, because sometimes people will pop. We do this show live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So people will come in and say, wait a minute, like, I didn't know you guys had a 30-minute countdown. Like, why is that? Because it's a live show. If you watch the replay of our show, you can always scrub through the timeline and get to the start of the show when we actually start the news stories. That's totally up to you. But for people who watch it later, that's what they'll experience. But if you're watching it live, you might have popped into the stream and you might have heard Natalie saying something about Hunter Biden and it might have rubbed you the wrong way. Look, I think at the heart of the story, which the way that we tried to cover it yesterday was, forget the addiction piece of this. Forget the, you know, whatever, the drug addiction, all of that piece of it. That's not even interesting, actually. What's interesting is the corruption.
Yes.
And taking money to curry favor with political leaders around the world and to enrich yourself. That's what we don't tolerate.
And the censorship that came out of it, too.
Yes. And it's a media story, right? So people, a lot of people like me sort of listened to the media at the time that this broke just before the 2020 election. When the media told us it's a nothing story, it's just trying to, you know, put Biden on the level with Trump. And so those of us who believed the media at the time sort of set it aside and stopped paying attention when it ended up being a real story, not just about salacious behavior and addiction, but it's a story about money and corruption. And I think those things are unforgivable. But again, what I was trying to do was make space for anyone who suffers from addiction inside of their family.
So addiction is one thing, but the way I would take one step further, I think I'm seeing a lot of people commenting on this, but he's also a predator, right? And that's the point. If you're like shoveling underage girls across state lines, that rises. So forget the addiction piece. Then it's like, you know what? Sorry. Okay, the addiction, let's wipe that off the table. Like, that's not even a concern right now. The fact that you're a predator, that's where it just, you know, you lose all credibility.
Yes.
That's it. You're out. Yeah. You're out.
And today there's a story that broke just before we came to air about what?
Well, I don't know that it broke. It's been breaking and I don't know. Well, there's pieces of this Ashley Biden diary, of course, that are starting to get published, but I don't know that it's been verified. It's a lot of murkiness.
It has been verified by the New York Times last November in 2021, in fact. And the New York Times said it was a Project Veritas.
Yes. FBI confirmed it, but I'm saying now that the pages are coming out, the veracity of the pages, et cetera. But anyway, go ahead.
So the story is that a diary that belonged to Ashley Biden has been published. It is over 100 pages, so we didn't read it in its entirety yet. It's also a penmanship, so it's hard to read. But it talks a lot about inappropriate behavior with minors inside of her family, right? So this is another piece of it, is this sort of inappropriate sexualized behavior in the Biden family that has been hidden from us for the purposes of protecting President Biden.
Right. And so people, you ask a question, okay, so you have a daughter that had, you know, was having these issues with her father. Then you have a son who's addicted to crack cocaine and also a predator. Like, something's wrong in that house, right? If that's a parenting issue. I mean, at the heart of all of this, right? If you have two of your leading son and daughter, this is, and it's certainly worth discussing. You know, does it rise to criminal behavior? Who knows? We don't know, and we're not going to speculate on that. But the one big piece of this, of course, is that Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, had his door knocked down by the FBI when he had access to the diary that he paid access for after she left it behind at a halfway house. Like, was that right? Sicking the FBI on a journalist to go after them? And so there's a media angle to this, there's a cover-up angle to this, and there's a criminal aspect to all of this. And
right.
There's a corruption. I mean, this is a massive, massive story. If this happened to the Trumps, this would be absolutely wall-to-wall coverage on MSNBC and CNN, et cetera, and it's not.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll be watching this,
and especially if this would have happened during his presidency, you can guarantee there would have been impeachment hearings, there would have been all kinds of things going on to take care of that.
Because there were lies, right? We played you videos of the president being asked what he knew about his son's international business dealings, and the president said repeatedly, before and since election, he has nothing to do with this. He doesn't know anything about that. Now the evidence is quite to the contrary. So those of you in the chat who are saying, yes, that's just one bit of it, this bit is unacceptable, and you are right. And I saw so many comments again saying, what if this were the Trump children, right? How much did the media love to scrutinize the Trump children and wanted this very type of story, right? In a biased way. So I hear you. And if my sort of take on it didn't jive with yours, I appreciate you letting me know that in the chat. And I read you. We are.
Right. It's a conversation. Right? And that's why we'd love for you to please subscribe to the channel. We're here live every day at 4 p.m. covering the stories you likely will not see in the mainstream media. So please subscribe. And also at the start of the live stream, please smash that like button. What it does is YouTube, it pushes us out further into the algorithm so other people will get to see the content that we cover here that gets suppressed and blocked by these big tech corporations. So with that being said, let's dive into today's top story, and let's talk about this Ukrainian money hole. So Ukraine is an absolute money hole. And what we're learning now, of course, about the weapons. So the Financial Times out today with a big report about the concern among NATO and EU leaders about all of the weapons and where they are actually going. So NATO and EU sound alarm over risk of Ukraine weapons smuggling.
But not the U.S. Right. They're not listed here.
Well, you know, to be fair about it, remember a few weeks ago, CNN actually covered that angle from the United States side of this, where the Pentagon was admitting that they, once these weapons enter into Ukraine, the United States has no accounting of them. They basically disappear.
Yes.
So now, according to the Financial Times, NATO and EU states are pushing for better tracking of weapons supplied to Ukraine in response to fears that criminal groups are smuggling them out of the country and onto Europe's black market. So here is the Financial Times, Philip, you can take my laptop here. Since Russia launched its war against Ukraine, Western states have pledged more than $10 billion in military support. So this is the $10 billion that's not coming from the United States, where we've sent hundreds of billions of dollars.
Trillions,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, to Ukraine. From portable rocket launchers, armored vehicles, to rifles and vast amounts of ammunition. A number of NATO member states are now discussing with Kiev some form of tracking system or a detailed inventory list for weapons supplied to Ukraine. Two Western officials briefed on the talks told the Financial Times. Way to start now.
Ever like, heard of RFID?
You know what's kind of crazy?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is if you think about it, like think of grocery stores and how they have to take care of inventory and keep track of like what's coming in, what's going out, and how accurate they are, and how just how, you know, it's like the whole business revolves around that because they have to order product. They can do that there, but yet weapons that can decimate civilization, we don't need to track that.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I mean, think about how much we spend on these things, right? Millions of dollars for just one of these pieces of equipment. And you mean to tell me we don't have anything that knows where this thing is?
Something a little like more powerful than an AirTag?
Yeah, slap an Apple AirTag on it.
Well, that's short range. You have to be within.
And then you'd be walking around with our iPhones. Like, where did I put that?
I don't think you want
that. Where did I put that javelin? Is it under the couch again? I can't find that javelin missile that the U.S. sent to me. I can't find it.
Can you go back to the Financial Times piece and go down to the quote, right? Because there's a quote of an expert. Who is it? Just
all weapons land in southern Poland. Is this the...
This one, yes. All these weapons land in southern Poland, get shipped to the border, and then are just divided up into vehicles to cross. Trucks, vans, sometimes private cars, you guys.
Private cars. Yes, yes, so, I am here.
Can I just get in line and pull up in my Volvo and be like, sure, I'll take a tank?
Yes, my name is Sergey. I am here with my truck. Please put those javelins in my truck. I am driving to front. Really? Like, that's literally what's happening? People are renting cars and just picking up U.S. weapons as they arrive in Poland.
Now, we remind you that the State Department acknowledges that factions of the Ukrainian army are actually guilty of human rights abuse. So we don't really mind just flooding them with equipment that we don't know what it's going to do, even though we collectively agree that there are problematic factions inside this military.
So one of the journalists, G.H. Eliasson, is a journalist who's been living in eastern Ukraine for years. He's been there before anyone else, actually, covering this story. And he talks about these arms and the concerns about where these things are going, which is to the black market, sold for pennies on the dollar. But it doesn't matter because they're still making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Listen.
If you look at the Caesar artillery system that France has provided Ukraine, Ukrainian soldiers are selling it to Donbas army members. So the system that costs over $7 million has an actual battlefield price tag of $120,000. Now, this is one of many examples of Ukraine doing this. By now, with the amount of money that the U.S., Europe have provided, the amount of weapons that they've brought in, Ukraine should not have the manpower available to be able to actually staff these systems. And yet they're asking for more and more and more.
Yeah, more and more and more. And now they're running out of military staff to staff these weapons. So now they are enlisting women. So women are now going to be on the front lines in Ukraine. They're running out of men. So now they're just going to start getting the women.
You know, remember the story back a while ago where they were saying any man that was trying to leave, they were getting them back in. Now they're just going to let the children go and men and women have to go back and fight?
Yeah, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, they're conscripting,
you know, 40,000 women. If it means now women can no longer leave, where the borders were open to women since the beginning of the conflict in February. And we saw all of these images of women leaving with their children and their parents, right? So is it the case now that women can no longer leave since they are conscripted to?
Unbelievable. And it's also important to remember that as Ukraine retreats, and they've been leaving the Donbas region, they've been coming out of eastern Ukraine, and Russia has solidified that area, and they announced last week victory in that area. They're leaving behind these weapons. So the ones that aren't destroyed, they're leaving behind. And then whose hands are they falling into? Russians.
Good hands.
Well, I mean, they're falling into Russian hands. I mean, I don't make any assessment.
Right, we're not saying good or bad.
But they're falling into people's hands that are going to use them likely. So
at
Russia,
least that's what we think. If we can't track them, who knows?
That's a good point. So who knows?
This is like a perfect Monty Python skit. It's like you're going through Europe and there's a guy in his backyard and is like, "Is that a cruiser missile? No, it isn't. It looks like when I see the tip. No, it isn't.
No, nothing to see here.
You don't see that.
Nope. Wink, nudge, know what I mean?
I'm not
wink,
dead.
Nudge. Anyway, so these M777s, this video released today shows a U.S. M777 wrecked, right, as the retreating army. Sorry, it's a little squished here. When we do it in the out of the player, it looks like that. But so this one's a wreck, but imagine how many are not, as they are retreating and in the hands of the Russian army now. The Daily Caller, though, has a bigger concern about this. This is arguably, I don't know if there's any bigger concern, maybe the military piece of this, but the financial piece of this that the Daily Caller points out is that we are sending you, the money that we're sending to Ukraine is winding up in the hands of corrupt politicians. to the tune of billions of dollars into the hands of corrupt politicians, which is, you know, stunning. Well, we knew this was the case, though, right? This was happening for years in Ukraine. The Pandora Papers revealed this many, many years ago.
Yes. And it makes sense, right? Because if you don't know what's going to be left of the government, will there be any accounting for what you do or do not take if you are a person of power, right?
Right.
So who's to know, who's to hold you accountable? Ukraine, as we know it, will be unrecognizable in the next few years. At least, will the government have any type of audit? Will there be any sort of business as usual, right? Is it safer? Although the United States media did acknowledge that this was a problem as recently, as far back as 2016, right? And again, the U.S. State Department's reports on Ukraine do still show government corruption is a big problem there, right? Internal government corruption, that means the people who were elected and the people who work around them. The United States knows this.
So in 2016, this is the article you're referring to. This is a Reuters piece in 2016. You can take my screen. Yeah, there it is. And then I have a little bit more deeply here. But here's the article. Ukrainians shocked as politicians declare vast wealth, right? From 2016. And let's go a little deeper. Anti-corruption reform requiring senior Ukrainian officials to declare their wealth online has exposed a vast difference between the fortunes of politicians and those they represent. Some declared millions of dollars in cash. Others said they owned fleets of luxury cars, expensive Swiss watches, diamond jewelry, large tracts of land, revelations that could further hit public confidence in the authorities in Ukraine. Guess what? The average salary, look at this. The average salary in Ukraine, just over $200 per month. And yet these guys have private planes, $1.2 million in U.S. dollars, $460,000 in euros, collection of luxury watches. You remember, of course, that the United States has been funneling millions, if not billions of dollars into Ukraine for years. Right. So, of course, these guys were getting wealthy. And as we learned in the Pandora Papers, Vladimir Zelensky himself has gotten extremely wealthy. So, yes, the Daily Caller and these watchdog groups are should be concerned, and government officials should be concerned that the billions we are sending to this area is going into corrupt politicians' hands. After all, Ukraine is ranked
pretty pathetic.
Isn't Ukraine ranked as the most corrupt European
one of the top two most corrupt
governments.
Yes.
And the guy's got that much money. Why is he still wearing t-shirts?
You know, now it's like,
it's hot
now. Yeah. Now it's hot there during the winter. During the winter, he was constantly in combat, right? He was like literally taking phone calls while firing guns. So he had to be in a t-shirt. It's
while professional photographers were around taking his picture in stairways and stuff.
Right.
Well, it's a show of solidarity, you know, kind of like sports, like baseball coaches dress out,
right?
You know,
yeah. So now,
like when our presidents loosen their tie a little bit.
Sure, sure. Right. Do you ever wonder why hockey coaches and football coaches don't dress out, like show up to the sidelines in full-on padding and stuff?
Yeah, it's probably a little cumbersome. So now the Ukrainian military today. The Ukrainian government is now asking for $9 billion a month from here on out. So Ukraine asking for $9 billion in monthly aid. For the next few months, we have to receive $9 billion per month instead of the $5 billion that you're currently sending us. It will be next to impossible for us to survive without these funds.
Okay.
Anything to say about this?
Wow.
I mean... Anything?
I mean, you know, can I get some of that?
Just 1 month of that would end homelessness in the United States. 1 month.
Yeah. Yeah, $20 billion would eliminate hunger in the United States. I mean, literally wipe away homelessness and hunger. You have people sleeping on, you know, in tents across the United States underneath overpasses in California.
Yeah. Philip, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say I want some of that. I mean, if they're going to give $9 billion to Ukraine per month, I mean, I'll take, you know, a couple thousand a month. I'm fine. I'm not greedy.
Roll just up in your truck and take some weaponry because I have a private car.
Yeah. I'll take 2,000 a month, and I want one of those French howitzers because I think that would look really good on my lawn.
Yeah, don't mess with that guy. He's got a French howitzer from the Ukrainian army.
I wonder if there's something I would want in there. Sorry, go ahead.
It's okay. There's absolutely no accounting for where this money's going, who's getting it. Like, is it going to the government? And then is the government doling it out to what? To the military? Is the government doling it out to the people? Like, where is this money going?
Good question. I mean, they're literally, we saw stories where they're putting it on pallets, literally cash, and bringing it in. I mean, the same thing that happened in Iraq, right? And the same thing that happened in Afghanistan. Just here's pallets of cash. We're just printing it, and then we're going to drop it there for you guys to use however you see fit. So here's a pallet of cash for you.
Well, when you just pose that with how, you know, Western governments are living right now, people who are living inside of these governments that are participating in the war, it will really set your hair on fire.
Yeah. So much more on that. We've got more stories that we're going to be covering here on the show. In fact, we're going to be talking about these inflationary numbers in just a moment. The new report out this afternoon is incredibly troubling as President Biden flies to Saudi Arabia and Israel. But these numbers are not good for the American people. We're also going to look at Ambassador John Bolton, a new story about him talking about fomenting coups around the world while he was in office. And we'll be looking at this New York City nuclear attack preparedness, which is unfolding. So more on all of that in just a moment. But first...
Did you hear the door slammed?
That was perfect timing.
Those who come to the studio last are required to close doors.
Grover.
Yeah, but the wind blew it shut. All right, but first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Anthem Software. Do you own a small business and need to help grow it? Well, then AnthemSoftware.com is your one-stop solution. Anthem Software helps small businesses all over America find, serve, and keep more customers profitable, by quite honestly, by providing world-class CRM software. So, do you know a customer? Is it customer relations database? That's what it is, right? And we've had CRMs over the years, and I'm telling you what, Anthem Software makes fantastic software to give you results focused on marketing your services, your business. Your business will not only grow but dominate in this highly competitive modern world. That's AnthemSoftware.com. Every business has a song. Let AnthemSoftware.com help you sing yours. Visit AnthemSoftware.com to schedule your free demo of this amazing solution for your company. You're going to want to check it out. Just go and check out the free solution, free demo, and see if Anthem Software is right for you. All right. So, by the way, if you subscribe to the channel, if you subscribe to the channel, your name will pop up here on the big board. We got a big board up here.
Such as Wayne Dixon. Thank
Wayne
you so
Dixon,
much.
Welcome. Wayne Dixon is a new subscriber. So it should pop up almost simultaneously. There's a software that does that. So if you do subscribe to the channel, it'll pop up here. And we welcome all of you because we are here live every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
All right. Well, we were warned that inflation numbers would be bad. These are the numbers that show us how much consumer prices rose during the month of June. The White House had been sort of running game around this, like preemptively saying, look, the numbers are going to be bad. They probably will be around 8.8%. Now, remember, just last month, the May numbers were 8.6%, and we all freaked out. They're saying they don't reflect the decrease in gas prices. So just, you know, calm yourself. It's going to be okay. We're thinking 8.8%. The numbers came in. It's 9.1%. So it's worse than we were warned.
Yeah, so the consumer price index, which is a measure of everyday goods and services, soared 9.1% from a year ago. Okay, that's above the 8.8% that the Dow Jones estimated, not even the White House. This is the largest move since 1981. You remember 1981? Excluding volatile food and energy prices, the so-called core CPI increased 5.9% compared to 5.7%. So food prices, energy prices, stocks also dropped 300 points this morning. Then it moderated about 200 points down on this news. Everything was down. And then CNBC this afternoon, you know, says that this is bad. Further evidence that we have not yet hit even peak inflation. And they're actually saying for the average family, that means you've lost $3,400 in annual savings. I'm just curious, in our chat room, let us know right now, like, in what way are you feeling this? Are you feeling it at the gas pump? Are you feeling it in wages, the amount of money you bring home? Are you feeling it in energy prices, food prices? Let us know in the chat right now, how exactly are you feeling this, and in what way are you feeling it?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because the White House is saying we are not in a recession. These high inflation numbers will be sort of mitigated by the strong labor market because so many people are back to work. It's okay. But it doesn't play out unless everyone has a 9.1% raise from last year, right?
Right.
Because you're losing money if you are working, right? But the price of goods is increasing and you are not raising your salary commensurate to that increase, well, then that's just not true. So that's what this this Fox News article that we just pointed out tells you, is that you're losing money because your budget from last year is just out the window.
Yeah, $3,400 in annual wages under the Biden administration's inflation. $3,400. Like, that's not a small amount. I saw an article this afternoon in Politico, which was hilarious. They're trying to normalize this poverty, and it was, I don't have the article in front of me, but it was, wages are going down, and that's a good thing, or no, raises are going down for workers, and that's a good thing for workers. Like, they're trying to spin this, like, okay, so the raise that you were expected to get is going down. That's going to be better for all of us. Because that means that goods and service prices won't go up. So this is how the mainstream media and the liberal press is trying to spin this.
I mean, okay.
Well, and I also don't understand where you're coming from, because you know as well as I do that the job numbers are the highest they've ever been in the history of America. So everybody has a job right now. So I don't know why people are complaining.
Yeah, that's true. And the White House, I mean, the White House line, that's what we've been hearing from Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, over the past few weeks, which is, this is historic. We're in a transition period. Things are great. You're fine. What is that North Korea 30 Rock?
I think
comment?
About this every time we play any kind of government line, right? Because there was this episode of 30 Rock where the CNBC anchor gets kidnapped to North Korea and they force her to become state-run anchor.
News anchor.
And so they're like, well, we have a clip of Avery on the air in North Korea. And she says, in other news, you've had enough to eat. And that's the news in North Korea, right? And I want to just grab that clip because it's like the government is telling you, you're all right. You've had enough. Yes, this hurts. It hurts when you go to the pump. It hurts when you go to the market. But you're fine. Quit your belly aching.
So Brian Deese, you know, the White House is the response this afternoon, because President Biden left town. So he was on a plane when this information was coming out, and it was perfect timing, by the way, wasn't it? Fly out of town, go to Israel, where we send billions of dollars, right? Go to Israel while all of this news is breaking. So you're on Air Force One. You don't have to deal with all of this. So then they sent out these White House lackeys, Brian Deese, who, of course, is the New World Order guy who let us know last week that you will enjoy all of this pain. This is part of the new liberal order. Liberal World Order. Yeah, the Liberal World Order. So they brought him out today. He's the White House economic advisor to tell us all, you know what, this isn't so bad. And this is more proof that we need to spend more money. Watch this ridiculous thing.
How long are we going to keep saying this is the worst of it?
Well, look, a couple points on today's report, as you just said. The first is, you know, it's backward looking and it doesn't reflect what we've seen over the last 30 days, which is a significant decline in gas prices, down about 40 cents. That June report, about half of it was driven by energy prices, and we've seen moderation since. But the second point is that in the core, inflation remains too high, which is why we need action. And I just want to underscore, if there's one thing to take away from this report, it's that there is more urgency now than ever in Congress moving to pass a bill to try to build more domestic semiconductors, to try to bring down the price of those goods. You see across this report, things like used cars and new vehicles, those prices holding up. That is not principally driven by demand. It's driven by supply and constrained supply. We know how to solve that. We should have solved that months ago, but we now have a moment. We need to do that. If there's any takeaway from this report, it should be that.
Although that brings us right back to the circular argument, Brian, that more spending is not what you typically do in the face of high inflation. How do we break out of that circle?
No, look, I think you have to look at the unique situation that we're in as an economy and think about how do we build more supply? How do we increase the productive capacity of our economy so that we actually can supply more goods, bring prices down? We know the answer on semiconductors, exactly. We need more supply of those goods. You were just talking about housing, same issue. Obviously, mortgage rates are going to increase as the Fed continues to tighten. But as we do that, we need to keep home builders building supply. Because we know that at core, the housing issue is a lack of affordable supply. It's been a decade or more in the making, but as we move through this transition, providing incentives, for example, for builders to continue to build affordable homes.
Yeah, so more money.
Well, he's really concerned about building materials for new houses and building materials for electronics. Mm-hmm. He mentions nothing about food, right?
Yeah,
I think this is the thing that most people are worried about, not whether or not they can find a new iPhone, but more about whether they can afford their groceries. It's a very tone deaf response.
Right. Well, when you think about the people that lobby Washington, right, they're the people that make money. So, of course, it's big tech. It's Google. It's Amazon. It's Facebook. It's sure. All of the people that funnel money to these, you know, it's the big auto companies, it's all of that. So that's their main concern is where can someone get a used car right now? No, actually, people are worried about their wages.
Yeah.
They're worried about the rent, which is also skyrocketing. So what are you going to do about that? We're going to spend more. And we're going to also make sure you all have a solar panel on your roof at the same time. So that's our focus.
The thing, like,
that's nice.
When you're net negative at the end of the month, you know, like you've got people paying higher gas prices to get to work. They're paying higher food prices. And it's like it's a net negative to even go to your job now for some people. Some people are actually losing money every month.
Yeah. To work.
Can you imagine that? That
would work.
Yeah. I mean, that was me when my 20s. But that was because, you know, you're stupid and you're in your 20s. Like the amount of money I was making every month wasn't enough to cover my rent or my gas.
Yeah.
You know, and I barely broke even and I went into debt. And so the report yesterday, we didn't get to show this yesterday, but this just reminded me, if I can find it here, don't have it.
Report? I'll talk about it if you want to search it up.
It was on consumer debt. It was on consumer debt. Okay. It was
Peter.
So Peter Schiff published a report yesterday about the amount of consumer debt, which ballooned to one of its highest levels in years. So Americans have just taken on an enormous amount of consumer debt. They've been using their credit cards and further going into debt because they can't afford. They don't have enough money coming in every month, so they're relying on credit. They're relying on debt.
Especially people who have needs for prescription drugs, and mm-hmm. neither party has made good on making those things more affordable. So, you know, and we've talked many times about how these consumer price index numbers, these inflationary numbers, are themselves problematic, right? Because they take, for instance, let's say a Dell computer, right, and the amount you would buy it for this month is actually cheaper than what you would have bought it for last month. So that is not really, calculated in these prices. There's a lot of like sort of math tricks that they do when they calculate these types of things because, you know, obviously electronics get cheaper anyway. Mm-hmm. So by some estimates, this 9.1 number is not even what you're feeling. You're feeling, well, last month when we calculated it was 8.8, many experts were saying, no, it's actually upwards of 11. So what you're feeling may be closer to 11 to 12 right now.
I want everyone who's watching right now to come closer to your screen. Come closer because this morning, Natalie sent me this article and she said, can you believe this crap? Did you just hit your screen? I don't mean to walk in your screen. So she sent me an article this morning and she said, can you believe this shit? The Associated Press's take on inflation. So here's the headline. U.S. inflation reached a 40-year high
That's
in June.
That's not the headline, though. They've changed it since.
Oh, they updated the headline?
Because when I texted it to you this morning, what upset me so much was it said, government spending. No, it's already.
They've whitewashed it?
It was government spending. Likely not to blame for inflation. That was the headline. It was something along those lines, but it has since been updated. So they are telling you these inflation numbers are going to be bad, and we are telling you that the government has impunity, right? So already, like, is it the Associated Press's job to tell you to what's the word, absconded the government, right? Mm. Am I using that right?
Abscond?
Abscond. Do you use it as a verb like that?
I'm not sure, but I managed to find from your, so this is before they covered it and redacted it earlier. So this is the, this was the headline that you had sent. Surging gas prices likely drove U.S. inflation to 40-year high. That was the text that came through, but maybe it auto-updated it in live?
Perhaps, or, okay.
Nevertheless, the Associated Press was out in front basically saying, hey, you know, all this government spending, don't point the finger there. Like, that's not the problem. The problem is Putin's price hike. Like, the Associated Press carrying the water for the Biden administration.
I may be remembering this wrong. It may be just, I mean, even that headline, though, if I'm wrong, is problematic, right? Because they're telling you, and in the first nut graph, I'm going to use the business term.
Of a paragraph.
Yeah. In the nut graph, everyone knows what a nut graph is. If you passed eighth grade English, then they were saying, likely it is not the government, right? It's just gas. Government can't really help that, which is not true. And so, you know, it's not really the government's fault. So just so you know, when you see this bad number, don't be mad at the government. Just, you know, we're all in it together.
They're basically front running it. You know, they're like, you know, they're out there sort of, again, carrying
the spinning it.
Spinning it, front running it ahead of time. Here's how CNN.
I'm not sure what I'm sorry, but I'm not sure what a nut graph is. I got a C in English. That must have been an A grade level thing.
Does everyone watching right now know what a nut graph is? In the chat,
it has nothing to do with legumes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and I took AP English, so
okay.
You had a different
Grand Emperor Putin in our chat says, "Is she Spanish?"
Me?
No. I thought I read it the wrong way. Is this Spanish? No, she is. So people say no, they don't know what a nut graph is.
It's the
people say no clue.
The summary paragraph in your essay. Didn't you guys learn the nut graph and then the inverted pyramid and then how you construct an essay, basically? It's okay. Like the lead.
Like the first sentence and then the nut graph summarizes.
It's
what
a paragraph that explains the context of your story, basically.
It's the nut of your article, right? Is that where it comes from? The nut of your article?
I suppose. Yeah. I'm sorry for using insider language then. I thought that this was something we all talked about in eighth grade English.
She was a newspaper reporter, so it was common parlance in the newspaper newsrooms when she was a journalist. So,
all right. Yeah. Use it in a sentence.
We always called that an abstract.
Yeah, because I was a slacker and we didn't talk about
that. Is it the same as an abstract?
Alexandra says, I'm lost. I don't know. Mark says, I don't know. I don't know. Well, anyway, now you know.
Okay.
And knowing is half the battle. So, again, that's how CNN, that's how the AP was running with this. Before they even saw the number, they were telling us, don't worry about this. Don't worry about all the government spending, which is, by the way, how we got into this mess. The printing of U.S. dollars, devaluing the U.S. currency. That's exactly how we got into this mess. But leave it to the Associated Press. Here's what CNN...
Even crazier. Well, I was going to say, before you could say that, even crazier is the fact that, like, this is the Associated Press. This is, like, who we generally before depended on for, like, that's the real information coming out from the Associated Press. It's like, that was the most credible source, that and Reuters.
Right.
And it's like, now what? It's just a propaganda tool now.
Of course. And just like we saw in Ukraine, the Associated Press reporters in Ukraine are now actually covering the areas that they're purported to be reporting on, right? So, anyway, CNN. This was CNN this afternoon talking about these inflation numbers, and CNN has a new poll out showing the number one issue facing Americans right now. And surprise, surprise, it's not the January 6th hearings. Listen.
What is the top issue for Americans at this point, and who is trusted on that? The top issue for Americans at this point is not the January 6th committee hearings. It is not Donald Trump. It's inflation, according to 33% of Americans. That is the top issue. And who is trusted more on the issue of inflation? The margin right here is absolutely huge. Republicans are trusted over Democrats by 19 points, and that is why, at this particular point, Republicans still lead on that generic congressional ballot.
Hmm. Shocking. Really? More Americans aren't concerned about the January 6th circus than they are about inflation. That's unbelievable. But President Biden, of course, continues to talk about this as a problem from the GOP. He's blaming on Republicans. He was front-running this as well just a few days ago, blaming the Republicans on inflation and, of course, blaming it on Putin.
And that's why what we're doing here is so important. Let me close with this.
We made incredible progress on the economy from where we were a year and a half ago. We got a long way to go because of inflation, because of the, I call it, the Putin tax increase. Putin, because of gasoline and all that grain he's keeping from being able to get to the market. Now I'm fighting like hell to lower costs on things that you talk about around your kitchen table. My dad used to say, at the end of the day, it's just when you sit at that table, do you have enough money to pay for everything you need? Not a lot over. Do you have enough money to pay for everything you need? Well, Republicans do nothing to obstruct our efforts to lower your gas taxes. I propose that. I've asked the Congress to eliminate the federal gas tax.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Did Republicans.
Did you see the girl on the left behind Nodding him when head. He said that about the Putin thing?
Yeah.
And she's just like, eh.
Yeah. She's like, oh, here we go. I love to watch their responses behind. He's like, I call it the Putin price hike. And they're like, no, not that again.
Well,
none of us are buying that crap. Why do you keep saying it?
Also, they continue to act like they just came up with it. Like it's off the cuff. Like me and that stupid nut graph thing I just said, right? So they're like, I call it as if, you know, and they're like,
I call it the Putin
price. It's
the
faux spontaneity of it that's really getting me, because I'm like, look, we all know that this was spun by your public relations team. So don't pretend
it's like that whole,
you just made it up.
They come up with these little slogans like the, we don't want it to come in the form of a mushroom cloud or whatever. And then it's like, they just all go after it and use that same terminology. And then people just start to believe it. There are people that literally believe, like when we did a poll on the channel, there was like 9 or 12% of people actually believe that this is Putin's fault. Out of like 100 and some thousand votes.
Because if they sit there and they watch CNN or they watch, you know, they just get their news from one source that's spoon-fed from the White House, then of course that's what they're going to think. You know, it's propaganda. I mean, that's at the end of the day why it works. Propaganda works, right? That's why on this channel we try to bring you the truth and try to uncover the actual news and the actual facts here without an agenda. That's why one of the big issues on all of this is President Biden flying to Saudi Arabia. The other big piece of this inflation story and the gas story is that, so today, President Biden flying to Saudi Arabia, he landed first in Israel, giving a speech there, meeting with Israeli leaders, and then off to Saudi Arabia. Lots of questions as to whether or not he's going to push Saudi Arabia on the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Is he going to push them on the
whether he will meet with the Crown Prince MBS that's responsible for that when he said that he wouldn't?
Right.
And whether or not he actually gets what he is going there for, which is the release of more oil, which Saudi Arabia has said repeatedly they don't want to do, and they are losing confidence in the United States. They are continuously thinking that selling more oil to China seems like a better idea than all the sort of complicated business that they've got with the United States right now. And the president is going there to sort of change his mind, right? Will it work? Will it sort of discourage this petro-yuan? Will it? I mean, there's so much writing on this, and it could be a big success when you think of if you are pro-American hegemony when it comes to the dollar, or it could be a big flop.
So you remember what the president said, then candidate Biden, about Saudi Arabia. He was asked specifically about this and how he would carry himself as president against Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, who funded what we saw on 9/11, right? The reason the World Trade Towers came down, Saudi Arabia, right? So why do we have such a cushy relationship with them? And he said we were going to treat them like a pariah. Here he is.
We were not going to, in fact, sell more weapons to them. We were going to, in fact, make them pay the price and make them, in fact, the pariah that they are.
Oh, they're pariah, right? Now I'm going there to kiss their feet and hope that they'll send more oil to us because we're screwing over oil leases in the United States. What we're doing is not working. Well, Vladimir Putin yesterday...
Why is he going out of the country to beg Saudi Arabia for oil at the same time shipping our oil out, our emergency reserves? Like,
well, on
that
top
makes
of
no
that,
sense.
Canceling leases, right? I mean, canceling leases that oil companies should have access to. And the oil companies were asked about this. There was a congressional hearing on this this morning on these oil leases. And these oil executives like, no, we absolutely wanted these leases. You canceled them before we had a chance to actually take part of these oil leases. And why?
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah. So we're canceling oil leases that they would actually want to use, not the ones that are on areas that don't have oil underneath them on these federal lands. And we're going to Saudi Arabia to kiss their butts. So Vladimir Putin says, this is all your creation. Vladimir Putin giving a speech yesterday on this issue. Take a listen.
Да, мы знаем, европейцы пытаются заместить российские энергоресурсы. Однако результат таких действий ожидаем. Это рост цен на газ на спотовом рынке и увеличение стоимости энергоресурсов для конечных потребителей, в том числе для домохозяйств. Все это еще раз показывает, что санкционные ограничения в отношении России гораздо больший ущерб наносят именно тем странам, которые их и вводят. Дальнейшее использование санкционной политики может привести к еще более тяжелым, без преувеличения, даже катастрофическим последствиям на мировом энергетическом рынке.
Let us know your thoughts on that in the chat below. President Biden flying to Saudi Arabia. Inflation numbers 9.1%, record-breaking numbers. And as CNBC says, there's no relief anywhere. CNBC saying there's no relief anywhere.
And really quick, which mainstream media source did you get that Putin speech from? Because I didn't see that on any like MSNBC or anything. Where did you grab
it? It actually was hard to find.
Oh, you can't find it. Good luck finding it. You're not going to find it anywhere.
So you mean CNN or none of them? They don't report on anything Putin says?
No,
at all.
No.
Wow.
They don't do that. No, they do. That's why I play these speeches, because when he, like Putin, you know, over the years, when he says things, you may hate it. I don't care how you agree with it or not. But when he usually says things, he usually tells you exactly what he's going to do, and then he does it, and then everyone's shocked. Like, what is he doing? He's actually doing this? Yeah, he said it in a speech. Oh, well, we don't get to see that speech because you keep it from us. So yes. We don't know what he says, right? So anyway, that's why I play it here. So you can make your own decisions about it and your own determinations about it. So we've got more news to get to, absolutely, here on the show. We are going to look at what's happening with John Bolton. Ambassador Bolton let the cat out of the bag about how the United States overthrows other countries on a regular basis and how difficult it is. These sound bites are shocking. We're also going to look at nuclear weapons and how the New York City is preparing for a nuclear attack in the United States. So, yeah, that's all good.
To raise your anxiety. Absolutely,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a sponsor first?
I do. I want to tell our friends first, though, over at about GoldCo. So, my fellow Americans, if you have an IRA, a 401k, or a savings account, things are scary out there. The Biden administration has printed more money in the past 2 years than the previous 100 years combined. The national debt hit a record $30 trillion. And inflation is the highest we've seen since 1982. It's only a matter of time before the house of cards comes crashing down. Now, if you have retirement savings, your money could be at serious risk. Talk to my friends at GoldCo to see how you can protect your retirement with gold and silver before it's too late. Go to redactedlikesgold.com. There's the website on your screen, redactedlikesgold.com, and they're going to give you $10,000 or more in free silver when you open a qualifying account. $10,000 or more when you open a qualifying account at redactedlikesgold.com. I saw someone in the chat before we were even starting the show said, you must get gold. You have to get your money in gold right now. And that's, I mean, when you have the U.S. dollar literally collapsing before our eyes, right? You have federal currency, U.S. or government fiat currency collapsing. The euro down to a 20-year low right now. Having your money in precious metals to protect your family, gold and silver, is absolutely the way to go. Go to redactedlikesgold.com and visit our friends over at GoldCo so you can get their free report and get up to $10,000 in free silver. All right. Shall we talk about John Bolton, Ambassador John Bolton? Now, CNN sat down with former White House warmonger Ambassador John Bolton. I like to call him Yosemite Sam because I feel like he's like, he's got the mustache and he just
needs
the cowboy hat.
All he just needs is the hat.
Yeah.
By the way, I've interviewed John, I don't know, dozens and dozens of times over the years back when I was an anchor at Fox News. And he was always the most humorless individual. And then he said he was going to run for president. And everyone was like, what? You're going to run for president of the United States? Really? And he did. And it was a disaster. He said, we're like shocked by that.
As anyway, Trump would say, low energy.
Low energy. He's a low energy guy. Anyway, he sat
down. Which is actually something I think about a lot. Like, you would never want to be called low energy, right? And you're someone who goes on camera. And
especially not on this show.
Right. No. So sometimes I think about that and I like give myself a pep talk.
Yeah, if you really want to insult Natalie, put low energy in the
chat. No, please don't.
Don't do that. It'll shatter her confidence.
It will hurt my feelings.
Yeah,
I'm trying to bring it tonight.
Anyway,
I got my blankie.
Ambassador John Bolton is low energy. He sat down with CNN to talk about the January 6th riots, and the question was, you know, was Trump smart enough to create a coup? Right at the heart of this is like, did like President Trump mastermind a coup, right? And to overthrow the government. Jake Tapper thinks that it was actually easy to carry out a coup. And then Ambassador Bolton had an entirely different take. Listen very closely to what he says.
I don't know that I agree with you, to be fair, with all due respect. One doesn't have to be brilliant to attempt a coup.
I disagree with that. As somebody who has helped plan coup d'etat,
yeah,
not here, but, you know, other places, it takes a lot of work. And that's not what he did. It was just stumbling around from one idea to another. Ultimately, he did unleash the rioters at the Capitol. As to that, there's no doubt.
Wow.
So you can accidentally set off a coup, he's saying.
Did you hear what he
said? I have experience with this, he says.
I have, but what he's saying is it's hard to do. Maybe it's not as hard as we think it is, I guess. I don't know what he's trying to say here. To me, I don't care the Trump piece of this, quite honestly. I care that he's admitting that he was actively involved, not just in one coup, but multiple coups. Plural, right? Of course, he wrote about this in his book, so we're going to unpack that a little bit more. But for all of you, I saw comments on videos today where they're like, I can't believe it. Really? The United States is involved in coups? Like, people literally in comments on forums, they couldn't believe it. They're like, no, the United States doesn't do that. And I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Well, the United States says they don't do it.
Right. The United States says they don't do it.
They condemn other places for doing it.
But we've been actively doing it for decades. So then Jake Tapper, to his credit, okay, because it was off topic, Jake Tapper, to his credit, actually went back and then pressed him on this question. He's like, oh, we were talking about Trump, but you just mentioned you were involved in coup attempts. I'm going to ask you about the coups that you fomented. Play that.
To anathematize the rest of the Republican Party, and that's unacceptable.
I do want to ask a follow-up. When we were talking about what is capable, what you need to do to be able to plan a coup, and you cited your expertise having planned coups.
I'm not going to get into the specifics, but
successful coups?
Well, I wrote about Venezuela in the book, and it turned out not to be successful. Not that we had all that much to do with it, but I saw what it took for an opposition to try and overturn an illegally elected president, and they failed. The notion that Donald Trump was half as competent as the Venezuelan opposition is laughable. But I think there's another...
I feel like you're this other stuff you're not telling me, though.
I think, I'm sure there is. I think there's another point here that came out in the testimony that's not been stressed enough. Deposition testimony by, I think his name was Donnell Harbin. I may have taken that down
wrong. Let's just change the subject. I'm looking through my notes here. Yeah, I don't want to talk about all those coups that I was involved in because, yeah, there's a lot I'm not telling you here.
But that's like the way he laughed it off was like, you know, did you ever cut class in high school? Like, I might have done some naughty things.
And Jake Tapper just kind of nods his head along with it, kind of like, okay. And he asks it with he starts laughing or smiling when he's asking the question, Jake Tapper does. But to his credit, he did ask the question. So we even have this conversation at all is credit to him for asking the follow-up there. But then Max Blumenthal on Twitter has a lot to say about John Bolton because John Bolton talked about him in his own book about the interview that he did with Nicolas Maduro. So here's what Max Blumenthal tweeted earlier from the Gray Zone. Great journalist Max Blumenthal says, John Bolton is 100% right. January 6th, which I witnessed, was a low IQ riot that lasted just a few hours. Nothing like the coups that he has plotted in places like Venezuela, which featured foreign mercenaries, assassination plots, and well-orchestrated months-long riots. And to further go into this, Nicolas Maduro, of course, talked about this in an interview with Max Blumenthal about the very coup attempt that would have led to his assassination by John Bolton. He calls him out by name. Here's Nicolas Maduro, the president of Venezuela, talking about these assassination attempts by Ambassador Bolton. Watch.
Now, a year ago, it'll be a year in August, there was the attempt. I can tell you that today I have proof that the assassination attempt was ordered by John Bolton in the White House.
You're saying John Bolton personally commanded an assassination attempt against you?
And he waited for the results in the White House. If you dig deeper, you'll see it someday. The proof will come out how John Bolton, in coordination with then-Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos, and they gave the task to Julio Borges, a former legislator in Venezuela. We have testimony, we have witnesses, proof. All the material authors of this assassination attempt by drone were captured. Some of the operational and intellectual authors were captured. And it all points to Julio Borges in Bogota. It all points to Juan Manuel Santos in Colombia. All of it. All the logistics, the institutional support, technical assistance, support from Colombian intelligence. It all points to John Bolton, who has a criminal mentality, a murderer's mentality. We survived that day.
Miley said the plot emanated from Miami.
Correct. The intellectual authors, the financiers, and the people who directed the operations via video conferences, they live in Miami. They are protected by the U.S. government and are part of the networks established by the White House. In this case, John Bolton.
Can you believe this? I mean, so if you're new to this show, or you're new to just this way of thinking, you're thinking, what, really? The United States foments coups. It actually literally tries to overthrow governments. Yes. I mean, and you have both sides of the story. You have the failed attempt on Nicolas Maduro. You have Bolton basically admitting to Jake Tapper that it didn't work. It was a failure in Venezuela, writing about it in his book and joking that we're actively a part of throwing over nations, like we did in Ukraine, by the way. I mean, Victoria Nuland, that was an absolute operation to install a puppet regime inside of Ukraine. And the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah, this is an incredible
admission.
Well,
when you look at the lengths they went to. Sorry.
Go ahead. No.
The lengths they went to by even like the Juan Guaido, who they still acknowledge as the president here in the United States, bringing him in to Congress and basically acknowledging that he is the president. Like, they tried very hard and failed at the Venezuela overthrow.
Oh, and Guaido, I mean, a few weeks ago, we didn't play it here on the show, but Guaido, you know, he was at like a restaurant or whatever, and people like throwing chairs at him. Like, they don't want him as their I'm sorry, the United States chose you as our president? No. Sorry. That's not how this works. And that's exactly what we do. But it's amazing.
Well, and it's the hypocrisy, too, because we sit here and then we're like, oh, Russia tried to overthrow the 2016 election by running some Facebook ads. Like, how, you know, if that's right. The worst that they do, then you look right. At what we do around the world, like, that's pretty hypocritical.
Well, and as Ann Perlroth, or what's her name? Nicole Perlroth writes in her book, she covered that story, the Russian propaganda during the election. And what she found, she was a New York Times journalist. She said, well, Russia didn't even create the content. Like, the content was already created by people sharing content about Hillary Clinton, et cetera.
Yeah.
And some of these Russian bots, all they did was retweet what stuff was already there. Like, they didn't even have to make the content.
They waited for news and exploited it, right? But they didn't actually make up the news in most cases.
But assassination attempts with drones, the United States way, that's Ambassador John Bolton. I wonder why he didn't win the presidency. Seriously, I'm joking about it, because he seems like he's perfect for that job, to be honest with you.
He's well connected.
He was in the room where it happened, right? Here's things I'm not telling you. This is exactly what we elect warmongers now. That's who we put in the White House, unfortunately. Love to hear your thoughts on that. You can drop us a comment below. Make sure you're liking us. Press that like button. And if you subscribe, your name will pop right up here, like CNC Carving, new subscriber. If you subscribe, your name will pop up here on our big board. So welcome, welcome, welcome.
All right, we got two more stories. Do you have the energy for it?
I always have the energy. Low energy. Look at me. Low energy Natalie. Can she pull it off?
I love, there was a comment when we were talking about Natalie's energy, and there was someone called Real Comment that said medium energy.
Medium energy.
I'll take it.
Medium energy Natalie. See if she can make it through the rest of the show. Yes. So the funny thing is, I used to do a 4-hour morning show on called Fox and Friends on the Fox News Channel. I used to do the weekend version of that for 10 years, right? My co-host Tucker Carlson for six or so of those years or so. And it was a 4-hour show from 6 to 10 a.m.
Yes.
Natalie got her start in journalism as a writer, so she can write like crazy nonstop. And then she had her own show, which was a 4-minute show. I was thinking about this today. It was a 4-minute show on CBS or on CNET, which got bought by CBS.
Yes.
So it was a 4-minute show. And I used to do a 4-hour show. She's like, yeah, I find, you know, I sometimes that show, I'm like, it's an hour.
We're at an hour now. And we still have 2/5 to go.
My point is that... It's a lot different. 4 minutes or 4 hours.
Yes, but to my credit, most of the segments you did on Fox and Friends were 3-minute segments that were like,
yes,
concentration pieces. And the rest is like how to make hot dogs and stuff. That's not hard. So we're doing
dressing in
five high researched pieces here, right? That are thought pieces. If you want to throw one in the middle about how to, you know,
yeah, that's what how we'll
to do. Bait a hook. Then that might give me a little bit of a break.
That's a good point. On Fox and Friends, we used to do like 4 hours of content, and you'd have like one interview with a senator, and then some, you know, Bass Pro Shops, something, whatever. But
and then so and so showing you how to wrap a Christmas present,
and then an interview with Donald Trump, and then you're back over here doing something else like 5 minutes later. So on this show, it's a condensed version of the stories that we care most deeply about, but it's not 4 minutes long. So you're going to need that energy to get through the rest of the show. All right, you want to tell us about our...
Sure. Yes.
Tell us about our friends over at Thuma.
All right, let me tell you about a Zen bedroom, you guys. And this is something that is top of mind with me right now because I have spent the last few days going nuclear on my kids' bedrooms that were full of like art projects and erasers and junk from the school year. And I decided that everyone should live in a clean and organized bedroom. And so this is something that is near and dear to my heart. And it also is a virtue of Thuma. Thuma is a style, a design, an ethos, if you will, of an intentional less is more design philosophy for the bedroom with clean lines, subtle curves, and lifestyle enhancing details. Thuma proves that simplicity is the truest form of sophistication, and that's why they are introducing you to The Bed by Thuma. It's handcrafted from eco-friendly, high-quality, upcycled wood. You'll find beautiful, unique variations in the natural grain. The minimalist design, featuring Japanese joinery, helps elevate any space. It's super supportive for your mattress, breathable, and made to naturally minimize noise and create space in your personal private space. It's made for how you live. The bed also comes with the nightstand, the side table, and the tray. Those are perfect complements to the bed. They are sold separately. Thuma works with one tree planted to plant one tree for every bed and nightstand sold. And all of their essentials are Green Guard Gold certified. So create that feeling of checking into your favorite boutique hotel suite, but at home with The Bed by Thuma. And now if you go to thuma.co/redacted, you'll get a $25 credit towards your purchase of The Bed, plus free shipping inside the continental U.S. So go to thuma.co/redacted. That's thuma.co/redacted for your $25 credit.
All right. All right. Let's talk about this. All right, let's go to New York City. We've been talking about nuclear concerns over the past couple of months, right? We've heard threats from both the Russian side and we've heard from the United States Congress that, hey, maybe we should start using and dusting off those old nuclear weapons that we have and put them to use, right? Like we all wouldn't be wiped off the face of the planet, right? Well, now the New York City has rolled out an unbelievable video over the past 24, 48 hours, preparing all of us for a nuclear attack inside of New York City. And I say this with a straight face. This is a real video. This is a real public service announcement video from New York City. Watch.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit. Okay?
Oh, can you pause
it
there?
What do we do?
So don't ask me how or why, because that's not what I'm here for. How did we get hit? Who did it? Who cares? Like, that's just who cares, right? Like, yes, that is the question, how or why. But okay, so what do we do? Now that we've been hit by a nuclear weapon, what do? We put on this nice turtleneck, and I tell you more. Listen.
And they can't even do good.
There are three important steps that I...
What did you say?
I said they can't even do good green screen.
It yeah. does look like she's in a video game.
All right, play
yes. it. I want you to remember. Step one, get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. And no, staying in the car is not an option. You need to get into a building and move away from the windows. Step two, stay inside. Shut all doors and windows. Have a basement? Head there. If you don't have one, get as far into the middle of the building as possible. If you were outside after the blast, get clean immediately. Remove and bag all outer clothing to keep radioactive dust or ash away from your body. Step three, stay tuned. Follow media for more information. Don't forget to sign up for Notify NYC for official alerts and updates. And don't go outside until officials say it's safe. All right? Yeah. You've got this.
You've got this. You've got this.
Unless those officials happen to be ground zero, then you're on your own.
Yeah, I love... Okay, so the
and
idea
also,
that you're going to send...
if you're homeless, right, well, then yeah, none of yes. that applies because you don't have extra clothes.
But number three on the list, like, go to social media. Like, go to and wait for text messages and tweets from I'm sorry, if the cell towers are literally destroyed from a nuclear attack, no one's going to be tweeting. There's not going to be any text right. alerts from your cell towers. That's going to be gone.
Somehow the internet cables all survived.
Yeah, go right. inside. Go inside your nice fluffy apartment in New York City and you'll be fine. Just, you know, and if stay away. If you see like if you see a cat that is on fire with radiation, don't pet the cat.
Don't
do not
it.
Do that. If you see a blanket that is covered in radioactive material, don't cover yourself in that radioactive material blanket. But this is really what's happening right now. And one of the reasons, we'll get to why I think that this is credible, like they're giving it in this like nice little way. This is credible. I'll get to that in just a second. But this does remind me of those 1950s duck and cover videos that we all watched. You know, and nostalgically, we all watched them because we couldn't believe that this was the United States of America in the 1950s. But here it was. Here's duck and cover. Here, watch this.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You
and you
and you
and you
duck
and cover.
Be sure and remember what Bert the Turtle just did, friends, because every one of us must remember to do the same thing. That's what this film is all about. Duck and cover.
Yeah. And then they go on. Then it's a whole film about how you should be duck and covering in classrooms. And just think about your children, right? This is a lot of memories of this after 9/11 were brought up about duck and covering and like, what are we going to do about our kids? But this is what they were teaching in schools for your kids. This is how you would be safe. Watch.
You know how bad sunburn can feel. The atomic bomb flash could burn you worse than a terrible sunburn. Especially where you're not covered. Now, you and I don't have shells to crawl into like Bert the Turtle, so we have to cover up in our own way. First, you duck, and then you cover. And very tightly, you cover the back of your neck and your face. Duck and cover underneath a table or desk or anything else close by.
Yeah, because that'll save you, right? This is unbelievable. I mean, this is literally the propaganda that they put on the American people, and they're doing it all over again, you know, 70 years later. So the reason I think that this is troubling is because we've been hearing from, you know, different members of the military. We've been hearing from the advancement of World War III propaganda from the likes of the German, from the likes of the UK government readying troops for World War III.
Yes.
That's literally what the head of the UK military said. We're getting our troops ready. We're prepping for nuclear attack.
For a ground war.
Ground war and a nuclear strike.
Yes.
Right? What city would they hit first in America on the eastern seaboard? Like, no wonder New York is rolling out this ridiculous video, because this is a reality, guys. So here is
Okay, but can I just push you on this a little bit? Okay. Is it a reality because politicians are poking the beast? Or is it propaganda to make you believe that the enemy is that scary? Because I could see it both ways.
Well, and I just want to say, like, think of all the generations of kids in school, that era where they did that. They had it in mind. Like, it's like they have to have some kind of fear of an attack of some kind for kids that they have to do this. Like, now it's school shooting drills. There's, like, all these different things that kids have had to go through throughout all the generations of some kind of fear of some kind of attack.
Right. So is it demagoguery? Right. Is it that? Is it telling them, look, Russia is that bad, so we have to prepare ourselves, and, you know, because this is a real possibility, you have to sign on to us sending more weaponry to prevent it. So yes, watch this and see what could happen, and then do not question when the money goes out.
I think it's a real possibility. It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what are you saying? War is a real possibility, or this as propaganda is a real, because both can't be true, I don't think.
Well,
I think the propaganda. I'm with you on that.
The propaganda piece of this, but I think the fear of nuclear war is absolutely real. But I think what's the word I'm trying to say here? Hold on, let me finish my
thought.
Let me get
a clarification on what you're saying. The threat is valid.
The threat is valid, which I'm going to play this sound. But you watched this interview, didn't you, with G.H. Ellison, and he talks specifically about why this is valid. So let's play that, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Watch.
Ukraine is receiving longer-range missile systems, including HIMARS, from the United States. And Russia has a real concern that three of its nuclear reactors are within range of this and other systems. Ukrainian nationalists, who are actually trying to spark World War III and get U.S. boots on the ground, would love to turn these reactors into a dirty bomb. That's reality. That's how limited Joe Biden's advisors and Joe Biden's thinking has been on this issue.
And so Russia has been clear on
World War III, right? That's the spark.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
That's the NATO providing long-range weapons to people that shouldn't have them,
right,
using them inside of Russia to hit nuclear sites, sparking World War III. This is the real threat.
And Russia has said that if long-range missiles target inside Russia, we will retaliate where those decisions are made.
Force that you will never see before.
That was specifically what they said. We will retaliate where those decisions are made. And there was an aside that they are not necessarily made in Europe, right?
Right.
And they are not made in Kiev. That means that this will boomerang back on whoever is making those decisions, who live where? Washington, New York, Miami.
Seattle, San Francisco. Right, and there's been reports of nuclear submarines off the coast of San Francisco, Los Angeles, the Eastern Seaboard, nuclear-powered submarines, nuclear submarines from Russia, of course. Just as there are U.S. nuclear submarines off the coast of Finland and off, in the Bering Strait and all over the place. So the threat is very real. And if their nuclear reactors are attacked...
We're a global force for good, though.
Yeah.
That's the difference. We're the global force for good, so we're allowed to do it. Nobody else is allowed.
It's just us that have to have our, yeah. But if those nuclear reactors are struck, this is what's going to happen. So I don't know. I'm of two minds of it. Yes, there's an absolute real threat, and this is also propaganda.
Okay.
This is the New York government trying to, I don't know, curry favor.
You know what's scarier to me, though, is how the propaganda could actually be the catalyst for the real thing happening, because it's like, they're just brazenly saying that all this stuff is going to happen, and so they're trying to spread this propaganda fear, which is poking the bear in itself, which is going to lead to some kind of retaliation.
Well, yeah. Poking the bear is also all these weapons that are being sent into Ukraine, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Longer and longer range missiles, yes. Well, did you learn anything from that? That you stay in the center of a building?
I learned that...
You trust the media?
No, what I learned from that video is that, wow, getting a sunburn is bad. It's just like having a nuclear weapon go off down the street from you. You'll be burned just similar to, like getting a sunburn. So get out the coconut oil.
Well, and what I learned is if you're a kid, if you're a kid, you better play close to your house so that you can get inside right away. You better not play like five blocks down the street in the fire hydrant, because then you're just, you know, and make sure you grab your phone, because you need your phone in order to get updates.
Yeah. So duck and cover, and really make sure you cover the back of your head, like when you're under that desk, because that's going to help. You know, really make sure that you're going to be protected from that.
Yeah.
Just wear turtlenecks.
It's such a false sense of security is why they make those videos. Like, honestly, if you're in the center of your house and you're anywhere near where the bomb, like a nuclear weapon, goes off, you are obliterated maybe like a fraction of a second later because you're in the middle of your house. You know, there's not going to be anything there. I mean, if you look at
the
aftermath of these things, it's insane.
Yeah, because it would have to go off like think of how far away from actually New York it would have to hit for New York to not be obliterated. It's not that big. If it hit in the center of New York, like New York is gone.
Well, look at what happened in Hiroshima, right? Of course, was it Fat Boy and Little? What was the two bombs? Fat Boy and
Fat Man and Little Boy.
Yeah. And they were exploded. I mean, miles away from the actual target, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean, ridiculous length away from where they were supposed to hit in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And the amount of damage that they did up in the air and away from where they were supposed to hit. So, again, this would be an absolute disaster.
Hasn't anybody ever watched Terminator?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, when that went off, it just decimates everything. It's not like just like this little explosion.
Well, like Philip was talking about, if you've seen the videos from the Bikini Atoll and those U.S. By the way, this is a story that doesn't get talked about a lot, but the U.S. soldiers that were told to go and stand there and wait bombs went off,
yes.
Right? And
That's awful.
you can actually watch the interviews with these individuals who finally, as they were dying, got some sort of government reparations, an acknowledgement by the government that yes, we took American soldiers and told them to stand there while we launched these nuclear weapons, or we launched an atomic weapon to see what the effects would be on human beings. And they felt like, whoa, it was intense heat. You couldn't even believe it. All of your body parts were on fire. You couldn't believe it. These were American soldiers that the American government had stand there so they could figure out what the effects of these things were. Disgusting.
But right. That's New
York. And keep in mind that during all of those nuclear tests that they were doing, those were like significantly lower payload than what they have now. So it's like they were much smaller nuclear weapons. Like what they have now are
massive.
Like, orders of magnitude more powerful. Right. So they really should just in that video just be like, if a nuclear bomb goes off in New York, hey, I hope you had a good life.
Right.
That's basically what it is.
Don't try to find social media or your local televisions. Watch local media. I love that what they said too. Watch your local media stations.
Where are they broadcasting from?
Tune in to WVVA. Tune in to your local Fox affiliate. It's not going to be there.
Yeah.
Idiots.
In fact, okay, like, here's oddly, what the statistic I was looking for. Little Boy was the first nuclear weapon America dropped in war, killed 80,000 people on Hiroshima. But the destruction could have been much worse because only 1.38% of its nuclear core fissioned. 1.38%. And it killed 80,000 people. 3 days later, when Americans dropped their second bomb, Fat Man, on Nagasaki, it accidentally detonated 1 mile off target.
1 mile.
And still managed to kill 40,000 people.
Yeah. So 120,000 people vaporized in mere seconds, thanks to this.
Well, and think how concentrated New York. I mean, New York is really not that big when you look at it. It's just a concentrated area of big buildings. So, I mean, it would, like, think about that.
Yeah. I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
But New York wants you to. So here's your public service announcement. And I love the way they started it off was, we don't know how it happened, and we don't know why, but it happened. So you're there. You got this. You're going to be good. No problem.
I don't know. I think it hits, for what it's trying to do, it hits the right tone. I didn't really learn anything about something helpful, like, you know, get some canned food or whatever. But I do think that it's at least well produced for what it is.
All right. I mean, I don't know how who gets that phone call. Hey, production company, Clayton's, you make videos, right, Clayton? Yeah, we want you to make a video about nuclear fallout.
And think about the casting call for that too.
Yeah.
Like, no,
from somebody
too
who
scary.
Does video. Yeah, we do video production, and I can tell you from a producer standpoint, that was horrible because the inside, it was an inside echo when she was outside. It was definitely green screen, and then when she went inside, the shadows were off. It was not well done, in my opinion, as a producer. It wasn't good, well produced.
But don't even pay attention to that because, you know, it's a nuclear weapon. It's going to be nuclear fallout, so we can't even be paying attention to video production when that happens.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on this story, please, in the chat below. I want to talk about Mexico. Let's head down south of the border to Mexico. This has been a contentious relationship lately between the United States and Mexican President Obrador. You'll recall just a few weeks ago, we had the Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles. Mexican President Obrador said, I'm not coming because you uninvited Honduras, Guatemala, Cuba, and because you didn't think that they were a democracy enough. They were democratic enough. So we're not coming. So he sent one of his lackeys. Well, now, yesterday, they had a meeting at the White House. Obrador flew to the White House on the president's invitation. They spoke for about an hour. They had a meeting. There he is sitting next to President Biden having discussions. And they were talking about, among other things, trafficking, the border, on and on, trying to, I guess, mend fences. But Obrador got in a little bit of a jab on him. Like, literally during the press conference, he was basically mocking President Biden, mocking the United States, saying, hey, you know, your economy's not so good right now. And why don't you guys come down to Mexico? Here's how the New York Post covered the story. Mexico president invites Americans to buy cheaper gas in his country, which is exactly what he did. The Mexican president invited Americans to come across the border if they lived in a border state. Come down to Mexico. Our gas is much cheaper here. And I think this just speaks to the fracturing nature of this relationship and the fact that the United States is not as important to Latin America as it once was.
Yes. Yeah, it takes some huevos, I would say, to say something like that right in front of the president, right? When the president is clearly struggling and has a reputation to save and the American economy is really suffering, to say, well, you know, we're still doing all right with gas prices. I mean, it's relative, right? So it's in the low fours prices in Mexico, whereas upwards in border state California, in some places it's over $7. So it would make no sense to, you know, waste a tank of gas to drive into Mexico in order to get a tank of gas, depending on where you live.
Well, it just depends on the math, right? I remember when I lived in Philadelphia, many people would drive across the Betsy Ross or the Ben Franklin Bridge to go into New Jersey to get lower gas, because gas was always cheaper in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But if the math made sense, paying the toll on the way back across the bridge, you just had to weigh the math on the bridge cost to come back in. But I think he's specifically saying, like, look, if you live in a border state, if you live in California, you live here, and it's easy for you to come across the border and get gas, come on over. We're doing pretty good.
It does feel like a dunk. Like, it's a dunk on the president of the United States and the U.S. economy.
And I think you meant cojones, because huevos is eggs. I think it's used. I think they do use it that way.
They get used that way.
Yeah. When you say someone's got huevos, it means you've got balls.
Yeah.
You've got eggs.
Yeah.
You've got eggs.
I have
basket.
Heard that, but that's eggs. Cojones is actually.
You're cojones. You're
right. I'm trying balls. To use the slang.
You're huevos rancheros. So California. Yes. So this was. This was the story, of course, and this is repeatedly coming up, is about Californians and Americans moving to Mexico. Take my laptop, Philip, if you will. California exodus continues. People are leaving the United States to escape high prices and the rising crime rates. Imagine going to Mexico
for better crime rates.
I mean, you know, we had someone in the chat the other day. It was a super chat. We didn't get a chance to get to it. Someone was asking about moving to Puerto Vallarta from America. Would it be a smart idea? And there's been like a lot of crime in Puerto Vallarta.
Yes.
So there's gangs, there's drug cartels.
Well, Puerto Vallarta is the inlet where a lot of the drugs come in. And then there's the main road there where they are driven inland. So it's not necessarily a safe place. But my sister lived there up until recently. And there are pockets of communities where you will feel safe, but it is not everywhere. So
And where is Puerto Vallarta in relation to the border?
It's on the west coast, but it's south. It's about a 2.5 hour flight from the Bay Area. So, or from, I guess from, I don't know how long it would take by car.
More than 360,000 Californians left in 2021 to go to Mexico. That's unbelievable.
They're going to build a wall.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine? That's not too far off. It would be stunning. And this is actually one of the discussions they had was on the border. You actually have people going in reverse order. Like they're, you know, going to Mexico. Maybe Mexican President Obrador should talk to President Biden about building a wall from the United States. Like we have too many United States citizens now coming to our country for a better way of life. Can you guys, if we build a wall, will you guys pay for it?
Well, and I wonder now, like, how many of the people coming over the border are actually Mexican and not from, like, you know, El Salvador and, like, further south?
Well, it has,
like,
been.
I wonder if it's, like, less now.
Yeah.
Most of them. I mean, Honduras, Venezuela. By the way, in a lot of areas where we've gone in and fomented coups, by the way, John Bolton. So Venezuela, Guatemala, and other areas that we've screwed with have had, you know, Ecuador is, you know, in a lot of trouble right now as well. So you have a lot of migrants coming from there. And it's not Mexico. It's those areas.
Although there are Mexican refugees. There was a great episode of This American Life recently where the reporter went to a Mexican refugee camp in Tijuana and then went to the Ukrainian refugee camp in Tijuana. And it was night and day. It was like going from the Ritz to a Motel 6, basically. Hmm. And there were the woman who he spoke to inside of this refugee camp was a refugee from Mexico that had an avocado farm, and the cartel started threatening her family because there's a lot of profit in avocado. They're like blood diamonds nowadays. And she had to leave, and they needed to seek refuge inside the United States. So of course, it's never as simple as all that.
Yeah. Well, we've got super chats to get to on the show. I want to try something here. Let me see. Yeah. So we've got super chats we're going to get to here. Please make sure you're subscribed to the channel. But I do want to mention, before we get to the super chats, we have a website and we have a daily newsletter. Now, I think over 100 of you signed up for it yesterday.
Oh.
So please, it's free. We'd love for you to sign up for our daily newsletter. It's still called the old name, so don't be thrown off by this. It's still called morninginvest.com. David's working on the update on that to get the new website up and running with the new name. So it will be redacted, the newsletter, but right now it's still morninginvest.com. So if you go there, sign up. It's free. It's a newsletter we publish every day, totally free, into your inbox. You can read it while you're having your cup of coffee in like 5 or 10 minutes. We cover some big stories. We try to have some humor with it, give you some updates on what's happening in the world, kind of start your day off. We spend a lot of time writing it every day. So again, it's totally free. Morninginvest.com. It's an email newsletter, so it'll be delivered to your email inbox first thing in the morning. So we'll get to some super chats in just a second.
Okay.
But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Fabric. Because right now, parents, it's time to finally cross off one of the most important things on your to-do list, and that's life insurance. Fabric makes it very easy to get term life insurance policy for your family, quick, easy, and surprisingly affordable. In 10 minutes, you can do this, guys. You should all try this. If you don't have life insurance for your family, you need to do this. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee also, so you can cancel at any time. They have 1,600 five-star reviews on Trustpilot. It takes less than 10 minutes to apply. You can see your quote, and then you can personalize your quote to fit your family's needs. Now, Fabric reached out to us. They say, we love what you do with your show. We love your journalism. We love what you guys cover here on that show, and we really think it would be a great fit because our families are busy, and they want to save money. And they want something that can take care of their families in this crazy time. And so that's why they're supporting our show. All you need to do to protect your family's financial future with Fabric is apply in just 10 minutes at the website. It's MeetFabric, M-E-E-T, MeetFabric.com/redacted. That's MeetFabric.com/redacted, M-E-E-T, Fabric.com/redacted. And they have amazing lower prices for significant savings on your life insurance policies with great quality policies like $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day for your family. Really, really great to check them out right now. Fabric Insurance Agency policies issued at Vantis Life, not available in New York and Montana. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions, but go check them out. In 10 minutes, you can be up and running. So our thanks to Fabric. All right, let's get to some super chats now.
All right, so we've got Cooler King, Nova Scotia Grown 61, and Mike Wazowski and Janice M with super stickers. Thank you,
Mike Wazowski
and Emily W.
Mike with Wazowski another super sticker from Monsters Inc.
Mike Wazowski. Although Mike Wazowski has a Yoda picture, so.
Oh, maybe it's not the Wazowski. Maybe if that's your real name, we thought it maybe was a Monsters Inc. name. Then yeah, that's great. Mike Wazowski.
Natalie.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Natalie Chavez, I would trust Putin over Biden or Trump any day. Jake, the mistake. How useful is a minimum wage without a minimum wage or maximum wage? I believe our political system would work just fine if we had a sensible economic system.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The idea of a maximum wage, we've talked about that, right? So you have all of these millionaires and the, you know, these CEOs that the salaries are just so far out of whack, right?
Yeah.
You have a person like Dan Price, who we featured here on the show a number of times, who, right, he cut his own salary as CEO of his company, and he set a minimum salary for his employees at $70,000. And he took less so that his lowest employees could make more. And it was a brilliant move. And people, even on Fox and others, were like calling him crazy. Tree hugger. They were calling him all kinds of crazy names. And his business, like, tripled its business, its revenue. Family, his employees were able to get buy houses, have children, and not have to worry about paying the bills. They had a good salary. And so, yeah, it works.
Jaden, semiconductors are photonic quantum computing tech from Samsung. They are the whole purpose of the vaccine saga. I'm not sure what that.
Yeah, I read that earlier. I wasn't quite sure. If you could like clarify that a little bit more.
Yeah. Gabriel Arcari, keep up the good work. Truth should rule.
Thank you.
And that is the last super chat.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. We have a website. It's redacted.inc. That's our main hub. That's our main place to go to sign up and become a member. You can sign up for free. And then if you want to become a channel supporter, you can do that as well by, I think, for like $4 a month. You can support what we do here, independent journalism. That's how we're able to keep the lights on around this place. A great place because, you know, look, at the end of the day, these big tech companies, they censor companies, they censor voices. So it's very important to have our own website where we can communicate with you and let you know what's going on, post things, post shows, and exclusive content that you're not going to see here on YouTube or other places. So again,
friend of the show that we had on, Jackson Hinkle, he just got permanently demonetized on YouTube for covering basically a story that covered it basically the same way another news agency had covered it. And he got suspended for 14 days and they permanently demonetized him.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was talking with him about that. I just told him, I said, I'm heartbroken about it. Yeah. They literally shut him down
without notice or
no, they permanently. So he's not allowed to like, and they've removed all his videos. So he's like, as far as like his YouTube life, I mean, this is, you know, the thing that they do, like, this is what they do. They silence voices, they censor you. And so we've been censored and banned twice now, where they've taken us down for a couple of weeks. So that's why it's incredibly important to have our website for us to stay connected at redacted.inc. So please go there and just sign up. It's free, you know, totally free.
All right. So. And one more super chat from Nemanja. I can't see the names moving too fast.
Yeah, I think it looked like a super sticker, I believe.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, I'm low energy. Time to go.
Low energy, Natalie.
My energy's gone.
Thank you, everyone. Remember,
I left it all on the table.
Yes. Remember to duck and cover. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everyone, 4 p.m. Eastern time. Bye now.
He did what we all must learn to do.
You.
And you.
And you.